So what was Jav's excuse for not turning up today? I mean, yesterday he said it was because he went shopping.
Today it's because he didn't read his messages properly yesterday, is what he's saying.
Right, and then he was on a flight.
Yeah.
Flight VA9832 London Heathrow is ready for boarding.
Well, that's me.
Brilliant, Jav. Thanks, mate.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us. A mere 24 hours later than we should have been joining you, or you joining us. Yeah, we kind of screwed up a little bit yesterday, didn't we, really?
I thought it was all planned. I was going to be out of office. I said, look, guys, yes. I can't do it. And, you and Jav, we're going to run the show.
In fairness, it wasn't you this time. Absolutely.
No.
Jav just failed to turn up. He went shopping. Literally sent us a message. Sorry, went shopping. What?
The commitment from that guy. Honestly,
I know. And then we agreed to do it this morning. We're recording this on Saturday the 14th in the morning. Cutting into our weekends. This is how much we value you, dear listener. But we agreed to do it this morning. Was it 10 to 11? I said, everybody ready? And Jeff said, oh, sorry, no. I'm at the airport. I'm flying in half an hour. Like, what? Dear me. This is how much contempt he holds you all in, people. Really. You know, everybody loves Jav, but really, underneath... You
this is the real Jav. This is honestly what we put up with.
Yeah, you scratch that thin veneer and he's just... you're all below him in his eyes.
If there's ever like a Depp versus Heard equivalent court case that Jav's involved in, right, you will see some seriously dirty laundry coming out.
Side with the other guy is what we're always saying. Andy, how are you? It's been a bit of an emotional week, hasn't it?
It has. It's been a bittersweet week for me. It's an end of an era. I left the company I've been at for, just over 10 years.
Wowza.
Yeah, long, long time. A lot of investment in that place. Yeah. And
I know it was a bit it was a tough decision to move on.
It was, a very tough decision. More so, it's a cliche, but more so because of the people.
Yeah, exactly. Although I think when it came down to it, you were very happy to swap the people for the large pile of cash that was on
the list. Ultimately, I'm looking down Maslow's hierarchy of needs and it's like, screw the people.
Yeah, more Haribo.
Yeah, exactly. These people aren't paying my bills.
That's right. Yeah, when they start sending me checks in the post, then we'll talk.
Yeah, but it was quite like, so obviously last day yesterday, I was late into the office, like seriously late because, when you gather all your equipment to take back and I thought, I just grabbed this, I grabbed that, I know where that is. And, I've changed my office a few times in the last couple of years.
That's right. And I forgot to plug a few microphones in here and there.
Yeah, here and there. Like, let's not dwell on the past. but I had cable tied everything, like including all my work equipment. So I had like duplicate copies of docking stations and, one in the office, one at home. All the cables have been nicely cabled together, strapped to the back of the desk, and not like simply either. It's like it was there for the long term. And so, of course, I went to grab my stuff yesterday. I was like, hang on a second. This desk needs to come apart.
Yeah,
I was thinking maybe I could just buy the docking station stuff off the company, but I've just got no use for it,
Well, no, but somebody on eBay or CEX does. The last two places I've worked at, I've always negotiated keeping the kit. It's so much easier.
I know, Jill, we had that discussion. Yeah, I think, we have very different risk appetites with the different companies, considering I'm not even able to send external emails while I'm working my notice period without them being checked by someone else.
In my notice period, I just get told to stop working. I mean, it's so much easier. No, you've done enough damage, Langford. You can just stop now, go out into the garden.
Oh dear. But I did get some great gifts. I haven't shown you guys yet either. I've got my favorite, I'll be honest, giant jelly babies.
How giant are we talking? Like 6 foot or
Well, 800 grams. A single jelly baby is 800
nearly
grams.
Nearly a kilo. That's like 4/5 of a kilo.
Yeah, I've got a gummy worm, which is just over 2 foot.
Well, they say it's a gummy worm. Is it the same at both ends?
Well, it did. I'll be honest, it did look like a double-ended dildo when it was first started.
Are there veins on it? Because if there are, don't eat it. It's going to be a bit chewy.
And it came with a really rude message as well about me going,
You didn't know that jellies were advertised by naked men and ladies.
Yeah. And a giant cola bottle as well, which... It's probably going to be my favourite, but you know, I have no willpower once I start eating these things.
No, exactly. So basically, people—they really knew you. They bought you. They bought you about 3 or 4 kilos of raw processed sugar.
Yeah, and it's. I'm going to be buzzing when I eat them. I tell you. But alas, I won't dwell on the past. New adventures await next. Although I did realise yesterday, whilst I was at lunch with the boss, and we're talking, I said, "You know, I've just realised that as my last day is officially today, I do not have death in service benefit. So, you know, for the next 48 hours, if I die, my my missus would be shy, a significant amount of money that I was."
Now you can confidently walk around the house and up and down the stairs without fear of slipping and dying. If you can.
Yeah, if anything, she's wrapped me in cotton wool and she's. Yeah,
if you can see my air quotes that I'm doing, you know. He slipped down the stairs, Your Honour.
Exactly. But how was your week anyway?
It was good. It was good. Very busy up in London again. And had a couple of breakthroughs again. And I had a massive breakthrough all around risks and risk registers and stuff like that.
Well, breakthroughs are better than breakdowns when you're discussing risk, right?
They are. They are. Funnily enough, you know, having experienced both, they are significantly better. But like any large, massive organization, right, there's loads and loads of process, procedure, etc. you've got to follow. And it's there for good reason, or it's there for... Or what is there for what was a good reason, but is now, you know, slightly esoteric, etc. But nonetheless, you know, I totally get it. I've worked for both small and extremely large companies, and I know the differences and all that sort of thing. But it's frustrating nonetheless. But yesterday we had this massive breakthrough. Me and two French guys who are delivery security leads. On the team I'm working on. And the best part was they said, we spent an hour earlier today and we think we've fixed it all because we're able to talk in French. Right, so what you're saying is that I'm slowing you down. Thanks, guys. But no, it was good. So that was nice. And also it was my daughter's birthday, so we had a nice day. I've had fun setting up a Nintendo Switch, a new Nintendo Switch. We've been playing on that, which is good. And we're spending the weekend with them, and gonna be, your mum's down for the weekend. Yeah, so the Duchess is down.
Fantastic.
She's gonna have words with Jav.
Well, I think she needs to. I mean, the commitment that you're doing here, not only is it, you know, your daughter's birthday weekend, obviously, you've got family commitments coming on.
Family down. And as our major sponsor, let's face it, our major named sponsor, the Duchess of Ladywell, I think she deserves more value for her money from Jav.
She absolutely does.
Yeah.
I think we should sacrifice him.
Yeah, that's right.
Ask the Duchess if she wants his left hand or his right hand.
No, just slice his backside off. She needs somewhere to put her bike. Right, shall we see what we've got coming up for you today?
Let's try it.
Moving swiftly on. Let's see what we've got coming up for you today. This Week in InfoSec takes a stroll down InfoSec memory lane. Rant of the Week shows the real value people place in exposure. Billy Big Balls is a bold strategy from the Indian government. Let's see if it works out for them. Industry News brings us the latest and greatest security news stories from around the world. And Tweet of the Week shows us the real reason behind Musk's purchase of Twitter. And now let's go to our favourite part of the show, the part of the show that we like to call...
This Week in InfoSec.
Disclaimer, I don't actually have anything for this week in InfoSec. Can I suggest that you go back and download episode 54, which covers this same time in last year?
I think that's fair, given us a blame Jav.
Yeah.
This week in InfoSec.
You know, I used to get a little bit upset when I wasn't on a podcast and I'd hear all the jibes about me and all that sort of thing. Totally get it now. It's so easy, isn't it? So easy. It's so easy when someone's not here to defend themselves.
Sketchy presenters, weak analysis of content, and consistently average delivery. But they still won an award. Like and subscribe now.
So, as is tradition foretold many years ago, it is time for me to do this week's...
Listen up!
Rant of the week.
It's time to mother rage!
So this rant of the week, it actually comes from a tweet, believe it or not. But we will forgive that, as we've also got another tweet. This comes from a user, at John J. Hacking. EC Council asked me to do a video interview about the CEH. Now, as you will recall, EC Council have been in the news, well, I say recently, I mean, in the last 12 months. What was it? But what did they say?
Well, I think it's like 4 or 5 years now, isn't it? Didn't they? They sort of implied women are better off in the kitchen or something.
Yes, rather than, that's right. Yeah.
And then they tried claiming their entire marketing team were women.
Basically said, some of my best friends are women.
Yeah. You know. Exactly. I've got lots of women friends.
Yeah. And they were all over the place. It didn't look good. So they asked this chap, Mr. Hacking. They wanted to use the video interview, presumably they did a video interview with him, as marketing material to convince people to take the CEH, obviously. This was their response when asked about compensation. Dear John, my apologies for the delay in response. Well, I mean, obviously, dinner wasn't ready. So, regarding your query, this initiative and any compensation, brackets financial stroke non-financial, are independent of each other, and hence your participation will not help you get compensated financially or through credits, as it is beneficial from a different standpoint altogether. To reiterate, and this is underlined, this video will be available to millions around the globe and will add a great value to your resume and further career progression. Hope this helps to clarify your concern. Wishing you a great day ahead. Warm regards.
This is classic exposure, isn't it?
Well, one, when you read through it, it really doesn't make any sense anyway. Right? So this initiative and compensation are independent of each other. Okay, that, I mean, right. And your participation will not help you get compensated financially. That's a weird way of saying we're not going to, you know, compensate for you. Or through credits, presumably with the EC Council, as it is beneficial from a different standpoint altogether. The language in use here is bizarre, is very bizarre. And then goes on to say, this video will be available to millions around the globe and will add a great value to your resume and further career progression. As you said, rightly so, Andy, this is exposure.
Yeah.
This is, like, really? Exposure? This is what we get for this? Now, we don't know the full story on this. We don't know why Mr. at John J. Hacking did a video interview in the first place.
I can actually explain this.
Ooh!
So I did actually look into
this. You mean he did some research, unlike me?
No, so, yeah, I did some research. Yeah, so they actually asked him to do a video. And then he sort of went back and said, well, hang on a sec, if you want me to do this video, you know, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
And there seemed to be some sort of implication that, oh, it's just, you know, many people just love doing videos for us because, you know, they always have really positive experiences with our course. And so Mr. Hacking has actually included, I'll stick a follow-up thread that's in there. He's posted the full story sort of after this.
Yeah.
To sort of show how it came to get to where he was. But, I mean, see, you know, the EC Council had been basically, do you remember like Instagram influencers used to go and ask for free stuff like nice? Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing now. It's all that crappy behaviour that, you know, is about from 2 years ago.
Well, exactly. But the thing is, you know, I've done plenty of video interviews, and that's normally for people who either I respect as individuals or as companies, can you come and do this for us? Yeah, of course. You know, I love what you do. I love what how you do it and why you do it and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's other times when I've been paid to do stuff because, hey, if this is for something that you're going to make money off the back of, or rather indirectly, then, that needs to be fair compensation. But I just think, when somebody goes into asking for something like this with the clear internal expectation that we're not going to pay for anybody, we're just going to fob them off with the "we'll pay you in exposure," the ignorance and the arrogance of that kind of position really strikes home. It's terrible.
Yeah,
it's really terrible. And to say it in such a mangled, ham-fisted way as well. I mean, this could have been said, no, there is no financial compensation for this. We're afraid, we're hoping that you as a friend of EC Council or something will be able to help support us, and we can build a stronger relationship in the future. Whatever. Do you know what I mean? But to say, to split it out in this kind of weird way just smacks of tone deafness and a total lack of understanding of, actually how people might make their money, how people might live, or even how people value their own, what they're able to bring. Because this entirely devalues any contribution that Mr. John J. Hacking makes.
Yeah. So I think they obviously, send this out to so many people.
Yeah.
And then sort of like figure out how they do their stuff. But I saw, there was a reply I saw in the thread somewhere, and I gutted I can't find it because people are saying the reason they had to get this because certain government jobs stipulate they had to have a CEH, and even though these people are just sort of taking the test and just acing it because there's no practical element that the material is really old is the general consensus. But there's one guy who said 7 years ago when he took the exam he got 95% in 20 minutes. Like he basically did the exam 20 minutes, scored 95%. And he said, a week of intense studying helped immensely helped him. But he said it's probably the fact he got the actual exam paper on day one that really helped him pass it with that mark.
What?
I think, but this is what, there's been lots of rumours about EC Council like this, in the past and the way they've been taught, the methods that have been taught.
For EC Council's lawyers out there, rumours, we merely reflect what we hear.
Objection, hearsay, Your Honour.
Yeah, absolutely. Net fault beep out. Absolutely. But yeah, this place is not covering itself in glory whatsoever.
No. And EC Council, we know you're not going to give us sponsorship, so that's why we don't care.
Yeah. If you would, and you'd like to come on the show and, present your side for a fee, we're not just doing this for your exposure. Absolutely not. Then of course, give us some money. You can come on and redress that balance. Anyway, yeah, that was this week's
Rant of the Week.
We are officially the most entertaining content amongst our peers.
When are those awards coming up? Because
pretty soon, I think.
Yeah,
aren't they?
I know. That's what I'm just saying. Let's play as many as. Otherwise, we would have skipped the show this week, but we have to get value out of these jingles.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs> We need to get that down to a penny per play. But yeah, that is soon. In fact, we need to start advertising it next week. Maybe if we ask Jav to get onto it, he'll have something for it. No, actually.
No, yeah, definitely won't.
Yeah, we got to get onto that. We got to start polling because, otherwise all those lackluster alternative podcasts are going to, sweep the floor just because they didn't have the, just because they got more exposure. Anyway, right, let's move on to this week's.
So over to Jav for this week's bit. Oh no, Jav's not here. Oh dear. Oh no, the show's going to fall apart without him.
Oh no, yeah. Listen to it creaking and groaning. And oh no, we're all right.
Yeah, so this, I'm going to jump in with this one. So this is a, oh, do you know that the more I read it, the less I'm thinking this is a Billy Big Balls move as it is. Like, what is going on? So the India government, you may have heard about this, they're requiring cybersecurity incident reporting within 6 hours. Okay.
What?
So, yeah, new directives requiring organizations in India to report cybersecurity incidents to the Indian CERT within 6 hours. But even those incidents, which are portal vulnerability scans of computer systems.
Well, that's constant.
Exactly. Constant. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Set up a script that sends, you know, a report to cert.in every 6 hours saying we had a port scan.
I mean, you've worked in big companies. I think, you know, the last numbers I saw, you know, in the company I left, it was a big multinational company. I think, you know, we're polling about $16 billion a month.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of instance. So, you know, if you want to report on that, we're going to have to get bigger pipes to send traffic to you.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's appalling. I've not heard this at all this week.
Yeah. So this has been integrated into Section 70.
You've been kind of, scaling down your work, and I've been scaling up. So.
Yes, yes, yeah. So this is Section 70 of the IT or the Information Technology Act of 2000. So it is part of Indian law, and it comes into force within the next 60 days. But yeah, any internet service provider, intermediary, data center, or government organization is mandated to. Report, you know, these rules. And the same applies to incidents reported by third parties who provide services to those entities as well, which is pretty much everyone who does business.
The Indian security orgs and the sort of regulatory bodies, on the whole, I found them to be very sensible and very down to earth.
I found the other way. Like, particularly RBI. Yeah, they're just, if you just Google search RBI and fines, you know, things they've sort of issued fines for to companies.
Isn't that specifically the financial industry, though?
It is specifically, yeah, but they just, you know, they will issue you a fine if they don't think you gave them enough respect when you spoke to them. honestly, they're sort of really, like, up themselves, you know, in the way they approach things. They're very arrogant because they've got a lot of power. They can shut down your business, right? And so, you know, you get some sort of low-paid people, you know, that let power go to their... Obviously, I'm, you know... Just generalizing based on experiences of...
Specific experience.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were very specific about what has to be reported. Number one on the list is targeted scanning and probing of critical networks and systems.
Okay, well, that's every day.
Every minute, every hour. And then I can see other things that make sense. You know, compromise of critical systems or information. Yeah. Unauthorized access to IT systems, defacement of websites, intrusion into websites, unauthorized changes, malicious code attacks, you know, spreading viruses, worms, trojans, bots, ransomware, attack on servers such as database, mail in, DNS and network devices such as routers, identity theft, spoofing, phishing attacks, DOS and DDoS. And it just seems to get worse. It's like someone took out a whole list of, you know, what risk should we be looking for and just dump the whole thing as a requirement for reporting.
Cut and paste. Because, like, a phishing attack, define a phishing attack. One email, 10 emails, 10 phone calls, 10... Do you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah.
What is that definition?
I mean, data breach and data leak appear on the list, which to me, you know, they both can, you know, could have been swallowed up under unauthorized access to systems or data. Attacks on the Internet of Things devices and associated systems, which is pretty much everything. you know, attacks or incidents affecting digital payment systems, attacks through malicious mobile apps, fake mobile apps, unauthorized access to social media accounts, attacks or malicious suspicious activities affecting cloud computers. And then attacks or malicious suspicious activities affecting system servers, network software, applications related to big data, blockchain, virtual assets exchanges, custodian wallets, robotics, 3D and 4D printing, and drones.
What's 4D printing? Is that where it goes back in time and does something?
I think they're future-proofing the standard. to they're like, look, you know, if we chuck in 4D as well, we're not going to have to update this next year.
What the fuck is 4D printing? The fourth dimension is time, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, this what? This is the part you've got an issue with, right? Like, of this whole list, you're okay up until that point.
Well, all of those are technically sort of viable things that you might want to report on. Whether yeah. it's sensible to report on them is another thing altogether.
You want to report on suspicious activities?
Yeah, you want to report on suspicious 3D printing that happens tomorrow.
That's not a giant gummy
and
worm.
You need to report it today. For an attack that... What?
Yeah. And also, yeah, all of the logs have to be maintained in an Indian jurisdiction for a rolling period of 180 days and provided to the CERT.
What?
Yeah, Jesus, along with the security incident.
That is expensive.
Yeah. Huge. Huge. I mean, this is, like I say, it's a big move from the government. And I don't think they've been very well advised in terms of how they're going to manage this.
My goodness. Any of our Indian listeners out there, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this, you know, and if your how your companies are responding. And I'm going to reach out to some friends of mine, because this, like I said, this is a surprise. I've not seen this coming at all, because apparently I haven't seen all of the internet yet. to a point you made earlier off mic, Andy, but yeah, this is incredible. I'm aghast at this.
6 hours, people.
6 hours. Okay, I think we need to rebrand this as something else.
Billy, big rancy balls. Tweet of the week.
It wasn't a tweet, but you know, it probably will be somewhere. Bloody hell. Wow. all I can say is this.
Are you outraged that Host Unknown was voted the most entertaining content coming out of Europe? We read all complaints sent to our Reddit channel on r/smashingsecurity.
True story.
True story. Do you know what's funny? I don't know which, because I think I've said this before, all the jingles I've just got here are numbered 1 to 12.
I don't know which one. I know, it's random as to what comes out.
It is random. All three have been about our awards. Very good. I'm nervous about which one to press next, you know. Oh, dear. Well, I guess we shall find out in the fullness of time. But yeah, talking of time and talking of 4D printing and reporting in 6 hours, if we had to report an incident to do with 4D printing, what time would we do it?
The best time for that would be that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
That was difficult, but well done. That was really well done.
Industry news.
HHS Information Security Program, not effective.
Industry news.
SIM fraud solution sparks privacy fears.
Industry news.
Groundbreaking cybersecurity book published.
Industry news.
GitHub to enforce two-factor authentication.
Industry news.
Hunter Biden laptop repairman sues over hacker allegations.
Industry news.
NHS inboxes hijacked to send 1,000+ malicious emails.
Industry news.
Microsoft, Apple, and Google team up on passwordless statement. No, standard.
Industry news.
Ukrainians DDoS Russian vodka supply chains.
Industry news.
Special police constable used encrypted chat to post child abuse content.
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Okay. Huge if true.
I'm gonna fall for this one. Oh no, it's not to do with Jav. I did wonder why it was a groundbreaking book and why we report on it. Has it got anything to do with Jack? It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. Oh, right. I was quite surprised because actually I just took delivery of a book that was written by a couple of people who work for the same company as Jav. So,
for Kyan.
Kyan Perry, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what the funny thing was?
You paid for it.
I did pay for it, which was shocking. But the funny thing was about that, it's the security culture playbook. And, you know, I've had a quick flick. It looks great. And, you know, on the back cover and on some of the insides, you have, you know, statements by people. You know, yeah. Whenever I think of Kai, I think of him as a very bald Norwegian man who does X, Y, Z, you know, all that sort of stuff. And Kai asked me to do one, you know, for this book. And so when I got it, it was like, oh, where is it? Where is it? It's not there. He didn't use it.
No, so he didn't ask you to do it. He told you to do one. There's a difference.
Oh, right.
When someone said, do one, Tom, like yeah. That's, you know, it's a different sort of context.
That does make more sense because what I was going for was, you know, maybe the phrase fucking prick was a little offensive. I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah, publishers weren't onto that one. They,
yeah, I know.
They kept it in drafts.
He said, be honest. I mean... Yeah.
Great, just what the industry needs. Another bald, white, middle-aged man giving his opinion.
given you've got the manuscript of the first chapter of my book, I'm worried now. But
no, it's good. It's good you're getting the opinions of another bald, younger. Right. You know.
Yeah. But you're African though as well, aren't you?
So. I am indeed. Yeah, I'm African. But do you know what? Speaking of African, I just looked at this story. The SIM fraud solution sparks privacy fears. I have not read this one, but just the first line of it. Privacy and data security concerns have been raised over a plan to link South African phone users' biometric data to their SIM cards.
What?
This is a proposal by the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. And it's in the draft regulation published by the watchdog for commentary, which, if approved, will give all cell phone networks access to their customers' fingerprints, facial recognition data, retina scans, and biometric and behavioural data.
Holy moly, that's not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought they did valuable. All that with the vaccinations.
Yeah, apparently not everyone took the vaccine, so they're trying to do it other ways. Yeah, they realise everyone has a phone, so figured it's just better to go that way
instead. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. Bloody, that's outrageous. That is outrageous. I see we had to squeeze a story in about Ukraine.
We did, just because, I mean, you know, I'm sure this is a violation of the Geneva Convention. they are... For all the bad things that have happened
careful.
In Russia.
Yeah, careful, I know, Andy. Being careful. We've already had a complaint.
Yeah, you can't tar the entire country with the with the same brush of a, you know, crazy dictator. But to disrupt the supply chain for vodka, come on. I mean, you know, there's a reason why Russian vodka is of a high standard.
That's equivalent of doing the same to the tea supply chain for the UK.
That's disgraceful.
Yeah.
That's, the thought of that is disgusting.
Yeah, I've read in the past, I've read a few books on, you know...
Just generally.
Well, books I haven't had to pay for, obviously, but armed conflicts, you know. And so one of them was about the Falklands, and it's when... I can't remember if it was the Marines or the Paras, but they were... trying to take one of the towns, and they were basically they had to sort of dig in and settle down in the middle of this firefight, at which point somebody literally got out their little burner and started making a brew.
That's it.
It's like bullets flying overhead. It's like time for a brew, lads.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing that can't be solved after you've had a good cup of tea.
No, that's right, exactly. Whether that, how true that is, I don't know, but I really
it's
like
plausible.
To think
it is plausible.
It is very plausible. Yeah, we're going to be here for a while, lads, so we might as well get comfy.
Yeah. It reminds me of I've got a friend. He did a few tours. And saying he had a commanding officer one time that every morning people had come out. They were in Afghan at the time. Every morning they'd come out, their CO would say, "Oh, glad you could turn up today." Yeah. Thanks for coming in today, is what he said every day.
Thanks for coming in today. I was when I was at school, you know, military school, and I was doing it was a familiarization course because the regiment I was aiming to join was the Brigade of Gurkhas, and so I went to a place in I can't remember where it was, but there was this lieutenant, and he was a Gurkha who'd obviously risen through the ranks, and it completely lost his accent. He had the, you know, the fine, you know, okay, chaps, let's go on with this and that. All right, off now, shit, shower and shave and ready for breakfast. And he'd crack out a cigarette and he says, anybody want a cigarette? They're silk cut, I'm afraid. I mean, they're like tampons, you know, really. It was just really bizarre seeing this, you know, Gurkha officer who literally had walked from his village 20 years ago for 3 days to get to the army, you know, to get to the army for the selection in the Nepalese, you know, hills. Yeah. And now he's like, you know,
fully anglicized.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. He was a lovely chap as well.
We accept him, one of us.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, they used to tell stories that the Gurkha recruits, they would never turn taps off, because at the time, and this is obviously going back many decades, it's probably different now and such, but many decades, because you don't turn off waterfalls or streams, do you? And so when water's running, that's its natural state.
You know,
they had to be taught things like that, you know. And here, when they heard voices over the, you know, radios, it's like, you know, what's this? Oh, it's a chap on, you know, on the other side of that hill. So, no, don't be stupid. How can that happen? You know, it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah,
we digress. One last one, because I think hopefully this might actually happen. Microsoft, Apple, and Google team up on passwordless standard. How amazing would that be?
It would be good, but I don't know. I don't know if the technology is there yet.
Well, but this is the thing, that the technology is driven by demand, etc. The fact is, I don't think it's ever worked in the past, because there's always been like, oh, it's just this one small company doing something. There was a thing about a ring you wore that would monitor your heartbeat, and that heartbeat was your password because that's unique to you and stuff like that. Never really took off. But when we've got Microsoft, Apple, and Google, that pretty much covers 99% of every computer that, you know, 99% of the people would use, right?
Yeah, so you're going to have people like when they buy like Android phones, for example, they've always bought Android phones, right? And then they decide to buy an Apple phone. They're in the store. Their heart rate shoots up when they're about to, you know, buy something.
When they hear the price.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to be like, oh, this isn't the right person. His heart rate's totally out
totally
of
irregular.
Out the norm. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be good. I just don't. This is one of those things I don't think I'm going to see in my lifetime. And I'm deliberately.
Yeah.
Not pessimistic.
Well, given how much
cynical
refined
about
sugar
it.
You've just been given by your colleagues, that may be Tuesday.
Yeah. But it's like. So when I first started doing networking, like back in like the mid to late 90s,
yeah.
I remember being told that we were running out of IPv4 IP addresses.
Yeah,
and we would have, you know, we would have exhausted them all by year 2000.
And it's going to be a problem, and IPv6 is going to fix everything.
And this is why your CCNA is worth the money you're paying for it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And what do we have now?
Thanks, Cisco. What's
our still primary method of communication, at least amongst, you know, regular people? IPv4, right?
Exactly. I'm not falling for that one again. So, yeah.
Oh, anyway, excellent. If any or all of those stories are true, it would be huge.
Industry news.
The Host Unknown podcast. Orally delivering the warm and fuzzy feeling you get when you pee yourself.
3 out of 4 isn't bad.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on, shall we, to the final part of the show. The part of the show that we like to call
Tweet of the Week.
And we always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
And twice you play it, two tweets you shall receive.
Ooh.
So I'm going to take the first one, and I'm going to drop a little treat in for you there, Tom, to take the second one.
Oh, thank you.
So this one, there seems to be a theme going on Twitter at the moment where people are reposting things that Elon Musk says. Some of them are true, some of them are not. So you have to choose carefully as to which ones are. This one I choose to believe is true, and it was a tweet from Elon Musk. And he says, planning on buying Sands and making the certs affordable. Which I think, you know, I know our American listeners are like, you know, they don't see the issue with it because Sands is, you know, that's normal price. But I think those outside of the US, you'll find that Sands is consistently, well, certainly in the UK, sort of 2 to 3 times more expensive than any other type of training. Yeah. And when you head over to the APAC regions and the Africas, you tend to find out it's about 15 times more expensive than any other sort of local courses.
Well, the problem is now, of course, that Elon spent all his money on Twitter, that he hasn't got any money to even take a course at Sands.
Well, to be fair, he's spending other people's money, right? He's a true, you know, he doesn't have liquid cash. He may be $240 billion worth, you know, a significant amount of money, but he borrows money from others to invest elsewhere in case it goes wrong.
Stay rich, right? I mean,
exactly.
It works for Jav. Oh, I haven't got my wallet, lads.
Yeah, that classic.
Can I borrow some money for you to pay for these beers?
Yeah. Do you remember that night we went out for dinner? This was like a few years, but we actually went out for dinner, and he did turn up without his wallet. He literally drove into town without his wallet. And knew he didn't have his wallet walking into the restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't set up contactless payment on my phone.
That's why he's so rich.
It is.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, mine is from Annie at Soykotic. Soykotic, I like that. Every time I have a programming question and I really need help, I post it on Reddit and then log into another account and reply to it with an obscenely incorrect answer. People don't care about helping others, but they love correcting others. Works 100% of the time. Do you know what? I hate to think that this is true, but I think
you can see how it is true.
I can absolutely see how this is exactly what happens. I mean, well, Annie's got this wrapped up without a shadow of a doubt, but blimey, that's so depressing. And those were this week's
Tweet of the Week.
Well, that was remarkably drama-free this week, wasn't it,
yeah,
Andy?
Wait, the only complaints we'll get will be from Jav and his puppet accounts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Not Jav, not Malik. All those accounts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you very much, Andy. Much obliged for your many contributions and more than anything, your show notes. Let's face it, it's why we keep you around. So yeah, thank you very much, Andy.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
I think he should have landed about now.
Yeah, he's going to send a message any minute now saying, right, I'm ready to record.
Yeah.
Just send him a link, see how long he actually, because it'll take him 20 minutes. He'll join 20 minutes late.
Yeah.
We'll say we'll do it this evening. Just send him the link and then...
Should we just tell him that we'll do it at 7 o'clock tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at 7:30 when he joins, we're not there, he'll say, sorry, guys, I'm here now.
Yeah.
And then we'll get back to him at like 8 o'clock and say, yeah, we're done.